Glad to have Dr. Ben Character speaking with us today on behalf of the Gideons. We appreciate that. Appreciate you coming. And with that in mind, I'd like for us to read out of Psalm 119. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read verses 137 to verse 144 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
Well, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find that high school. And so he said, well, let's just go to the next village, see if they got a high school. And sure enough, they did. We waited for the principal at her office because she was making rounds on school premises. When she finally arrived, we introduced ourselves as members of the Gideons International and asked permission to give out Bibles. She looked rather astonished. She said, well, you know what? You're the answer to our prayers. We've been praying so long that somebody would give us Bibles so we could have books in a school for our values clarification course. What better book for values clarification? And they went room to room distributing New Testaments. The principal joyfully asked the students, what is it we've been praying for so long?
By the way,
been praying for something. Been praying for a Bible. A Bible. These Gideons are giving all kinds of Bibles. But they only had enough for the oldest and youngest group. In our schools, that'd be 11th and 12th grade. They wanted to come back later and give them the 9th and 10th grade. But the oldest and the next oldest students in school got a Bible. They were amazed how the Lord works in answering prayers. He directed them from first school over to the second school because he was answering their prayer. How many times in our life have we seen God answer prayer in a way that only God could do it? You know, if you look in the rearview mirror, you can see his hand move in our lives. We understand that. God controls everything. He's a director and author of this ministry here. Maybe there's a man here that's interested in helping us give out Bibles as a Gideon. It costs you $60 a year for membership. It costs you gas going somewhere. It costs you. I pay all my expenses. Every dollar it's given today goes to buy Bibles. So it's 100% free of any administrative cost. Zero administrative cost in the Gideons. Well, see me during lunch if you're interested in being a Gideon. I'd sure like to talk to you about that. We've got these Bibles written in 96 languages. Now, I do fairly good speaking English. The other 95, I can't do. Maybe somebody in this room can speak another language other than English. I don't know. But I do know this. There are people groups out there who don't speak English, and they'd love to get a Bible in their particular language so they could open it up and sit and read what it says to them in their language. 96 different languages, I speak one. I'm limited. You're limited by how we can share verbally about what's in the Bible. But if you have a written word, that written word can be shared in 95 other ways, other five languages. Now, how far we do this? 196 countries. Now, there's some countries we can't get into. Obviously, North Korea, places around the Muslim world, many of those places are closed to us. We can't get in there. But we're in 196 countries. We're actually in China, but sort of in a roundabout way. We can do it. But in Russia, we are there in force, and it's growing. We cannot get enough Bibles into Russia to give out. They're just sort of sucked up as soon as we get them there because they want them so bad. They've been so long without them. It's encouraging to me that God's work in other countries. We seem sort of myopic sometimes in our thinking to look around our own little world. And that's fine because God's in control here too. But we need to think globally. God says, go ye therefore in all the nations, all the world, all kinds of worlds, all kinds of tribes, all kinds of languages, all kinds of people. And so we see the spiritual darkness, but this is a light. This is a light in that spiritual darkness. many false religions out there. In fact, there's a story about a Hindu family here I want to share with you. This girl, I think it was a girl, I'll find out when I read. She says, so I was born in Guyana to a Hindu family, the elders, of nine children. That's you, Jonathan. You're the oldest of nine children. Nine children in a Hindu family. What do you think that day is going to do, bring those kids up? Going to make Christians out of them, right? No, negatory. He's going to make what? Hindus out of them, best he can. It says, my father attended the Hindu temple frequently and took me with him from early age. I believe the stories I heard, but the many gods were confusing to me. He said, I began attending a Presbyterian primary school where we said prayers and sang hymns and learned the Psalms and the Bible by heart, which I still remember. What does it say about the Bible? Hide the word in thy heart. So he did. He was penetrated, wasn't he? He was invaded. It says, one evening at the age of 12, I looked up into the sky and thought, surely there's a God up there, but who's the right God? Is he a Hindu God, a Muslim God, or a Christian God? Which is the right way? I decided to try them all. Now, we know when you look up in the sky and see things around here, that's general revelation. And we're going to talk about that some more in a few minutes. So he realized that there was a God. But he was confused what kind of God it was because his dad taught him one thing, and he was hearing what the Bible said in his heart from his Presbyterian primary school and his other ways. He said, about 3 weeks later, the Gideons distributed New Testaments at my school. Who knew? I started reading and suddenly had a new understanding of God as I read about the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was not just another story, but something that was real and alive, which moved me to tears. Now, you've been through a lot of times where you've seen people get saved. Sometimes there's tears. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's joy. Sometimes there's relief. A lot of emotion. This person had tears. Had tears. Because they were looking for the right God. Can you imagine looking for the wrong God? This person looking for the right God. And the little New Testament shared that. From then on, he says, I knew I was a sinner and could not save myself. I understood that Jesus died for my sins, and if I asked him to forgive me all my sins, I would be saved. I followed the scripture verses on the inside back of the cover that gave the New Testament and asked the Lord Jesus to save me and received him as my personal Savior. He said, I continued to read my New Testament every day, and from then on I had peace and joy I could not explain. He got settled. But this person said, I did not share this with anyone. I remained a secret Christian for about 3 years. I'm not asking you to respond, but you know anybody who is a secret Christian? Could be. I guess there's fear here in this particular person's life because their dad and family are Hindu. My New Testament was my most treasured possession. And Matthew 7:7-11, this is his verse that got him, became real to me. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. I began to ask the Lord to allow me to go to school. This person wanted to go to school. Now remember, about 11, 12 years old. My parents were planning to arrange a marriage for me by age 15, as was a custom, and going to high school was not an option, but I prayed and believed God. He provided a miraculous way. The year I was leaving primary school, a new high school opened only 7 miles away. My dad was transferred to a different county to work. My mother did her best to ensure that I got a high school education. Now, 3 years, this person says, after I trusted the Lord as my Savior, the church nearby had a crusade, and when the altar call was given, I went forward, and after the crusade, the elder of the church asked my parents to send me to church. My father wanted me to grow up to be a good person. Good person. So he consented, but when he learned I got baptized, he was very angry. He said he did not expect me to change my religion. This guy's all about religion. My mother and I had some very difficult times from then on. But through it all, I knew my Lord was my constant friend. Now get this. He says, my two sisters also became Christians. After my dad died, my mom and other siblings also trusted the Lord. God opened opportunities for us we never dreamed of. He's blessed us as a family with children and grandchildren who love the Lord. So you see, in this case, a Gideon-placed Bible opened the doors for one person. It was a secret Christian for a few years. And then God opened opportunities to become involved in a church and a school. And there were several in that family that were saved. For three generations, they were saved. And we praise the Lord for the work he's doing through the Gideons, it says. And trust the Lord that you will continue to reach the lost to the ends of the earth. Well, these cost $5. I've been to Gideon's for 14 years. They still cost $5. They cost $5 when I went in, and they'd cost $5. I don't know how they do it, but the cost has not gone up. We have printing houses, about four or five printing houses throughout the world, and they print these things. I understand they print them. People work there a lot of time, volunteer to work there. But the cost of these is $5. So if you gave $5 a day, we'll buy a Bible like this. If you gave $1.35 a day, we'll buy a Bible like this. Gwendolyn gave me some money last time I was at home at her house, and she wanted me to place a Bible, and so I did. Gwendolyn, got you a Bible. Did you get the receipt for that? Good, great. Well, that's how we do it. That's what we do. And I'm here today to ask you not only to pray for our work. It is work. We go to hospitals. We'll spend half a day going room to room to room, knocking on the door. May I come in, please? Oh, come on in. I'm just checking the Bible in the drawer. Oh, it's there. We don't have one. I'll get you one. We'll put one in the drawer. We went in the hospital there at RMC one time, and this man was lying in bed, and I thought he was asleep. Went in there and pulled the drawer out. The Bible wasn't there. I was about to put one in there, and he grasped us. I got that Bible right here in bed with me. He was hugging that thing up. He wanted that Bible close by his life. And don't we all want God's Word close by? You don't get very far away from your Bible, do you? Even if you hit it in your heart, you can't get away from it. Well, all money, as I indicated, used to purchase and distribute Bibles. There's no cost for administrative costs. God's Word, I noticed you put some things in your program about God's Word and about emphasizing that God's Word is true and its testimonies are true. It's powerful and can penetrate the darkness of sin. Hebrews 4:12 says, quote, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It's really dangerous in some parts of the world to own a Bible. You can get killed for it, just having one. Not so around here. It's discomforting sometimes. It might not be politically correct, but it's not against law. I hope it never gets that way, because they have to come get mine, I guess. But I have full confidence that God's Word will be useful in the places where we put it. If I didn't think that, why would I spend my time talking about it? Why would I come asking you to help us do that if we didn't have confidence that this is going to be to God? We'll use it for his purpose as he intends. We don't have to worry about it. In fact, it says the Bible in, I didn't write that down. Tell me where it says. This is a test. Now, Jesus, yes, it is. I did write it down. John 20:30-31 says, "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." Why? That's it. "They believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." That's right. That's the purpose of the book. Well, I'm encouraged by the numerous reports I read. We talk about general revelation for a second. Look up in your Bible to Psalm 19, please. I'm going to end up with this. Psalm 19. You know what I've learned? If you'll ask somebody to look up a verse in the Bible and then you look up yourself, by the time you get through looking it up, they have looked it up too. Because time goes so slow when you try to wait for somebody to do something. You've read this before, and this is an example, I think, of what he talks about, general revelation and what we call specific revelation. And I'm going to read the first six verses. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Well, we stop right there and consider what the psalmist David's saying to us, what God's saying to us through his psalm. The heavens, as you look around, the heavens, the atmosphere, the heavens beyond the atmosphere, the heavens beyond that which we don't know about, they're all a creation of God. They declare the glory of God. Anybody can look around and see that. And so we think in ourselves, there's got to be some designer, some creator, right? And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. It says day by day and night by night. And there's no words. There's no words. You can go outside and look up, not say a thing, but think to yourself, this is beautiful. It's gorgeous. Somebody, this all happened by accident, right, Hudson? Did it all happen by accident? No, sir. Jonathan, it happened by accident? No, sir. It was created, right? It's like this watch. It wasn't happen by accident, did it? Somebody designed this watch and created this watch. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying here. And it says, even the sun. The sun goes down and comes up. Actually, you know, we're going around the sun, we're revolving. It's even used as examples like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs his course with joy. It's rising, the circle, over and over and over, and nobody is immune from the heat of the sun. Okay? So everybody has a general revelation. But you know what? There is a second phase to God's revelation, starting in verse 7. And this is called specific revelation. And you all know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm just bringing to your attention that in God's revelation to us, in verse 7, he talks about several ways of saying the same thing we know is the Word of God. He says the law of the Lord is perfect. What law do they have? First five books of the Old Testament at that point, their law was perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear, that's awe, respect, of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then it makes a statement about all this illustrations of what the Bible is, what God's word is, and how all these rules and these testimonies and these laws and these things that God has given us for our own good, he says, these are much to be desired. In fact, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. And they're sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. And look at verse 11. There's even a promise here. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them, there's a great reward. Well, yes, we're to be warned, because there are some things we should stay away from. There's some things thou shalt nots in here, right? There's some shalls and shall nots. But if we keep those, there's a great reward. So God's word is a specific. Can you imagine the God of the universe loving us so much that he came here to be a embodiment so we can understand better and reflect the glory of God and write it down, have people write it down for us, and we have it today? Does that just not sink into your heart and let your mind just roll it around a little bit to think about the value he has for us, that he would give us this word? I've worked in several schools in my life, and we'd always, in the summertime, clean up. And I'd, you know, orchestrate and supervise the clean crews and so forth. And I'd see a lot of trash taken out where we'd emptied all the junk for the year. And I was walking along the hallway one day, and I saw this trash can was full, and somebody had thrown a Bible on top. It was damaged. It was torn. Well, I picked it up. I looked, well, it's pretty well torn. I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't throw it away. How do you throw away God's word? I couldn't let go. That's okay. I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to throw it away. You know? So there's a great reward, and also we're to be warned. So the law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, the fear, all respect, the rules, they're all to be desired. Well, I'm about through. As Gideons, we know that God's gone much beyond general revelation to specific revelation. And he opens our eyes many ways. I talked to you about the testimony of others. I talked about his written word. I've talked about the Holy Spirit opened the eyes of many people. Well, I told you about a story about a man from Arkansas who climbed up on those beams and fell, and God met him in the hospital. I talked to you about a school in the Philippines that prayed for Bibles, and God answered their prayers. And they were able to use that Bible in instruction in a public school. I talked to you about a secret Christian Guyana who was raised in Hindu, but God overcame those teachings and gave him the truth of the gospel. So today I'm asking you to help us. Now, there's two ways you can do it. You can give us $1,000. Oh, Jonathan, did you say $1,000? You got $1,000, Jonathan? You got $1,000. I'll take $500. I'll take $10. I'll take $5. I'll take $1.35. And I promise you we'll use it to buy Bibles. Another way you can do, give, and so forth, is use these cards. Anybody ever use these cards? The memory cards? Okay. These are beautiful cards, and they're absolutely free. I brought you a supply. I don't know if y'all have some here or not. You do? Okay, you have a rack. All right. I brought some more in case you need them. How many of you have ever received one of these cards? How did it make you feel? Really? Why did that emotion of wonderful come up over you? Absolutely. Uh-oh. Somebody back there received one. Who received one? Did you? Was it an in-memory card? Okay. You know what I get? I send a lot of these out because I'm a Gideon. You should do it too. I get thank you notes back, and many times I'll get this written in a thank you note. Let's say a person's husband had passed away. Bill, you couldn't have given him a better gift. Bill would have loved you. No, that the Bible is somewhere in his memory, you know. So I encourage you to use these cards. I love flowers, and my wife loves flowers, and we grow flowers, but flowers wilt and die. They're temporary. This is permanent. The Bible says that the Word of God endures what? Forever. We get to heaven, there'd be Bibles all the place. There'd be the Bible, the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you believe that? I believe that, and I glory in that. I look around and see your faces, and I know that in your heart you're trying to think about what you want to do to care for God's kingdom. There's a lot of ways to do it. This is one way. And I respect you, whatever you decide today, but I ask you if you can to help us generously with this offering. And there's a offering plate. See the gold? That is solid gold. No, not really. Is that solid gold? Sure. Derek had some of his gold. Take this brochure that's by your chair there. It's got a little information about distributing God's word throughout the world. There's an envelope here, and if you'll put any funds that you want to contribute in this envelope, or checks, or gold, or silver, whichever you choose, we will certainly take it and use it for God's glory. Thank you, brother, for allowing me to come today. And may I pray be a prayer at the end, okay? Father, I want to thank you for the sights and sounds that we hear today. We feel the warmth of the sun coming down, and we know, God, that you've made that sun, that you gave us this earth, you gave us, even though it's a fallen world, we see so many glimpses of your glory and can't wait to see the eternal home. And thank you, Lord, for that anticipation. But, God, I want to know that we can all do what we can do in distributing your word, either by mouth or by testimony or by written word to people throughout the world, throughout this area. I thank you, God, for giving us your word. I thank you for the impact it's had upon my life and our children's lives. I thank you, Father, for loving me with the opportunity to speak here today. I pray for this church that there will be a great use of this church in your kingdom. And the ones here will be edified, and you'll be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.